Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up later this hour. Diego Pavia, a Heisman Trophy finalist. We will get into that coming up here in a few minutes as well. So taking your thoughts on all that at 615-737-1025. Hoping to be joined by Scott Ramsey here in just a few minutes. By the way, the Music City Bowl coming up. You've got Tennessee and Illinois. But Tennessee just made a move and fired their defensive coordinator. So we will get into that a little bit later in the program as well. But the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl coming up on December the 30th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. You'll have Tennessee taking on Illinois. You can buy your tickets at musiccitybowl.com. So big matchup. I think I've been to every single Music City Bowl that Tennessee has played in. The crowd is always great. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our friend Scott Ramsey to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council and of the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. Scott, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning, Robbie. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Scott, let's just start first on the Tennessee front, because obviously that's a team that, as you know, travels very well. Every time they've come here to our city, the stadium has been full. I think I've been at every game that they've played here. So when you saw that Tennessee was going to be available, what was your reaction? What does having Tennessee here in this game kind of do for you guys, do for the city?
Well, it's always positive, Robbie, as you know. I think I just always kind of go back to the core reasons of why we started the bowl game in the late 90s when we built the stadium. And that, you know, one, how can we bring a lot of people and expose our city from a tourism standpoint and fill our hotels and fill the stadium for a great environment for the players? Secondly, how can we kind of showcase the city on our national broadcast, which we've got an unbelievably great time slot this year to really increase viewership with the 4:30 start, 5:30 Eastern. So, you know, Tennessee checks both of those boxes for us, and, you know, their fan base is so local as well. It kind of gives you that extra kind of push in the stadium, which in today's world, it's really tough if you've got two very distant travel bases really to kind of push that attendance up. So the balance of people coming in from Tennessee, they're staying and enjoying our city, and the people local really make a nice mix. It's not something I think you choose to do every year, quote unquote, if you talk to other cities that have, you know, teams that are very kind of local or regional. But occasionally it's the right fit, and we felt this year was it. A chance to play Illinois that they've never played in the history of the university. Illinois drivable fan base as well. So we felt like we had a lot of the same combinations, Robbie, we had for the Tennessee-Purdue game a few years ago, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Scott, and we actually have a question on the Illinois side of things, which I don't think this would be a factor because the basketball game was Saturday, but they had a tremendous showing. I mean, I was at the game Saturday, and it was almost 50-50 in there with the Illinois fans, which I don't know if that's because it's drivable or because, you know, we have obviously a lot of people who move here from all over the place. But I guess did you notice that, and do you expect a really big showing from Illinois fans?
Yeah, I do, Joe. We had a couple great conversations last week with their leadership, and certainly Josh is just a really very well-respected athletic director, and they've really kind of grown not only the football attendance but just their engagement across all sports. I think you mentioned we saw that for the basketball game. And another thing is Illinois is on an uptick. I mean, the last two or three years they've had some really, really great seasons. Last year down the Citrus Bowl playing South Carolina, Brett Bielema is really familiar with Nashville from his Arkansas days. And I just think they're going to really have a lot of Illini fans here. And, you know, when we kind of look at it, we kind of know where we sit geographically, and we've really kind of been able to be successful with that drive market or that short day trip kind of market. And when you look at their big alumni bases in St. Louis and Chicago, those are two markets that traditionally come to Nashville for everything pretty well. And they're populated with a lot of Illinois alums. So, yeah, we really expect them to have a great showing here. Again, I kind of reference really the Purdue same kind of model where they had a drivable fan base and really brought a lot of folks here. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Their leadership is excited about it and very positive, and a first time to come to Nashville to play Tennessee.
So, Scott, you've been with us before, and you've never been shy about the goals and the type of events that Nashville wants and is aiming for with the new stadium. I mean, every time I drive downtown, you can see the progress that's being made on the stadium there. So, I guess as we sit here and the stadium's being worked on, and it's not going to be that long before it's complete, where do we kind of stand on all of the things that we've talked about with you from just in terms of maybe the college football playoff coming here, the future of what the bowl games are going to look like as the playoff continues to evolve and expand on seemingly a month-by-month basis? Like, what do you make of kind of where things all stand there with the stadium well underway and in progress at this point?
Well, I'm glad, Robbie, you just didn't say, how's the state of college football? Because I'm not sure we could sit here till next Christmas probably talking about that one. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are obviously disrupted right now in postseason college football and a real transition. I guess the best way to describe it from my seat is think about when we signed the agreement with SEC, Big Ten, and ESPN in 2019. We did a six-year agreement, as did most all bowls in the country. Since then, in this six-year contract period, we've had COVID. We've had the dissolution of the Pac-12 and the expansion of conferences. We've had the addition of the transfer portal. We've gone from a 4-team playoff when we signed the deal to a 12-team playoff in the middle of the contract. And so just a lot of disruption. And, you know, I think as we look forward, there's some big decisions that the commissioners have to make on what is the holistic view of postseason college football. And then I think from Nashville's perspective, we're going to be ready to be aggressive and pursue the best opportunity we think for our city, whether that's a traditional bowl game, whether that's a change in the bowl system, whether it's opportunity for the national championship game, which we're certainly going to pursue down the road, or it's another kind of opportunity that we don't know of yet that they will create. But I really like where our city is. We're going to have a world-class facility with a roof on it, which will eliminate any weather issues in the Mid-South. We've got a downtown environment that is, I think, the best in the country for events when you can walk everywhere. And our hotel and our hospitality industry second to none with the music component. So I like where we are going forward. I can't kind of lay out because really don't know what those opportunities are going to be afforded us yet. But I certainly think when you look at Super Bowl, Men's Final Four, College Football National Championship game, those are certainly opportunities that we intend to pursue pretty aggressively as a city, and I am pretty confident that we'll have the opportunity in some time down the line. Now, I think also you got to look at the sequencing of when those are going to be available in the bid cycles of things like the Final Four and everything. So, you know, we're excited about the future. Obviously, like everybody else, a little uneasy about kind of postseason because it just seems like there's a lot of decisions to be made in the first quarter of next year that's going to impact how that's structured.
Yeah, and of course, a lot made this week, Scott, of Notre Dame, you know, not opting out of the bowl, but also you got the Big 12 schools and the Big 12 fined them, I think, $500,000 apiece. When you see all this happening, what do you think of all that? And I guess is it especially concerning just to see more teams doing this?
It is, Joe. But again, as I referenced, I mean, you know, 3 years ago we had or 4 years ago we had a 4-team playoff, and think of the bowl system this year without the basically free agency and a 4-team playoff, where you've got basically seven teams or six teams in the SEC alone with 9 or 10 wins, and you'd have pulled in the Oregons and the USCs and everybody for the Big Ten, you know, matchup. So you'd had some unbelievable matchups. So I just think it's disrupted right now on a lot of fronts. The timing of the portals, the timing of the coaching changes, the structure of how the 12 teams have been decided when they did that 3 years ago. And then I think, again, the conferences are going to have to sit down and decide, what do we want postseason to look like? And I think that decision they're going to have to make internally in that room with their athletic directors and presidents. But again, I, from Nashville's perspective, I'm disappointed, Joe, because of the industry that I think has served college football in such a unique way. I think Robbie knows us. We just work hard to kind of showcase our city and really make sure it's a great, you know, experience for the fans and the players that come here for every event, whether it's the basketball tournament, the marathon, our new volleyball event, or, you know, in a few weeks, the FCS National Championship game we're hosting at Vanderbilt. So from our standpoint, I feel like we're in good position to be a great site for whatever is going to be decided structure-wise. But, yeah, you're concerned about something you put a lot of work into that is really feeling very disrupted at the moment.
Got the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl coming up between Tennessee and Illinois on December the 30th at 4:30. Great start time there, as Scott mentioned. You can get your tickets at musiccitybowl.com. Scott, you're always very kind with your time. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Hope you and the family are doing great. Have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, Robbie, one thing before I go, I really want to say thanks to Liberty Mutual. I mean, there's a Fortune 100 company that chose to invest in Nashville and in this time that we just talked about, a very disruptive postseason. And I think that's another positive sign about our city being a great destination for whatever happens when you have a company like that that's willing to invest in the event. So I appreciate the time. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you, and appreciate all you do for us.
Absolutely. Scott Ramsey, our Thanks, guest Scott. Here on the program, president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council, president and CEO of the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. And again, interesting matchup, Tennessee taking on Illinois. As he mentioned, those two teams have not played each other before, and it's always a fun environment at the Music City Bowl, particularly when the Vols are in town. The stadium is packed, so going to be interesting to see what that matchup looks like. Speaking of the Vols, we will get into a move that they made a little bit later in the program at defensive coordinator. Coming up next, we'll continue the discussion on college football. What is the latest on the odds for the Heisman Trophy for Diego Pavia? We will get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Appreciate Scott Ramsey for being with us in the last segment there. If you want to go to Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, we got some tickets. A pair of tickets to give away for the game coming up at Nissan Stadium on Tuesday, December the 30th. Tennessee taking on Illinois. To caller 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl coming up on December the 30th. Let's welcome in Nate to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. I don't know if I heard this on y'all's show yesterday or a different show I'd listened to, but they had talked about players that, I guess the higher profile players for college teams that make the bowl game and play the bowl game, they get bonuses, I guess, like NFL incentives. Could that – how big a factor do you think that is to some of these teams like Notre Dame opting out of the bowl game? Because, I mean, I would think the incentives wouldn't be that cheap. So how big of a factor do y'all think that was?
Thanks for calling, Nate. I mean, I don't know about, like, the specific incentives that are out there attached to bowl games with players. I mean, look, with NIL, I'm sure that – some things exist out there, but I would not imagine that that is a big factor in the Notre Dame decision. Like Notre Dame specifically, they clearly feel like they have a beef with the NCAA. Clearly Notre Dame's athletic director has beef with the ACC. He was very clear about that yesterday, and they're doing that out of spite. They don't want to put their product on TV. That's why they're doing it. They're doing it out of spite.
Yeah. Yeah, on the question, there has been some talk of that. You know, think about basketball. They got the Players Era Festival, which has kind of become the big thing in Vegas, and it's like you're playing for money. You're playing for, you know, the winner. I think it's $2 million to spread around the team, or at least $1 million, $1 or $2 million to then you know, for the players to share. So like things like that. I mean, I think you could see some of that, but you also have team contracts too, where, you know, it may be like if you're healthy, this means you have to participate in the games, stuff like that. There's that. I think with every team now, it's kind of like if you have guys who are locks to be high picks. You don't expect them to play. Like, there was some talk about Pavia. I know we're going to get into him here, but there was some talk about, like, is Pavia going to, you know, play in the bowl game? And it's like, guys, he's not like a first or second round pick. I mean, I think he absolutely it behooves him to play and to do whatever he can do, you know, if he gets a Senior Bowl invite or whatever it is. So, you know, it's mostly guys who know that they're going to be high picks. And the Notre Dame thing, like you said, Robbie, nothing to do with it. The Front Office Sports did a piece, which I hadn't really thought about this angle, but, you know, their AD, Pete Bevacqua, he was previously an NBC executive. Like, this is an ESPN thing with them, too, which is, in their mind, ESPN used them as a drama piece for their show all those weeks, keeping them ahead of Miami, and then they flip-flop, pull the rug out from under them. And now, you know, of course, ESPN would love to anchor their bowl coverage with a big, like a Notre Dame BYU, you know, game where, ooh, these teams barely just got left out, and you know, here they're going to play. So I get that's all about that, yep. Which, again, I understand it, but like you said yesterday, I'd like to hear from, you know, all the Notre Dame players who all of a sudden not only did they get the playoff news Sunday, but then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, your career's over. Bye, thanks.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the team vote would have been. I don't think it would have been 100%. I don't think it would have been close to 100%.
So on the Heisman Trophy, Joe, we saw Fernando Mendoza take down Ohio State on Saturday in the Big Ten title game. Indiana captures a massive win for their program. They're the number one seed now in the college football playoff, and that did affect the odds on the Heisman Trophy. BetMGM, according to them, he is now a minus 5,000 favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Pavia is second at plus 1,500, and then I think it goes Julian Sayin and Jeremiah Love are right after that. So, Joe, it feels like that with the game on Saturday, Mendoza is going to have a lot of momentum when it comes to the Heisman Trophy. What do you make of where things kind of stand there? The fact that Mendoza and Indiana actually won the game against Ohio State, how does that factor into all this? And is Diego Pavia basically expected to finish in second place at this point?
I think that would be my expectation. You don't know for sure. I mean, you're talking about, what, 800 whatever voters. You don't know for sure how people are going to vote. In fact, as we do this now, I meant to have our staff, because remember last week it was 56-52 Mendoza with the slight edge over Pavia and then no one else close to them. So I will find that, but you know, it's hard when you're competing with someone who gets to play on that platform, and you got Gus Johnson like, give him the Heisman, screaming into the microphone. You know, I mean, it's hard to compete with that when you aren't playing on that weekend. And again, I just think that the worst as of halftime, Vegas was, Pavia had become the clear favorite. The odds had gone to Pavia because it was perfect. It was like both offenses were doing nothing. Both quarterbacks had thrown an interception.
Yep.
And it was perfect for him to sort of emerge. I mean, look, I still think he should win it. But, you know, Mendoza makes some big-time throws really to win that game. The touchdown and then the conversion late was a big-time throw. And, I mean, I know that's just couple throws, but when it's there's an instinct to basically who's the best team and who is their quarterback good, and people will go that route. The worst example of that is Jason White winning it when he was Oklahoma's quarterback and they were the best team, and it was
he's 48 years old playing too. It was amazing.
Horrific, man. And this isn't horrific. I mean, I think Fernando Mendoza, I think it should be those two. Those two should be the top two to me. And I'd put Jeremiah Love right there. But, yeah, at this point, it'll be a pleasant surprise. Okay, so here we go. It'll be a pleasant surprise if Pavia wins. So 56-52. So this week, okay, it's 64 Mendoza, 61 Pavia. It's 14 first place. This is the Athletic staff poll. 14 first for Mendoza, 11 first for Pavia. 14 seconds for Pavia, 10 seconds for Mendoza. Very, very close.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I could see it. It's there's so many things you don't know. Like, does the Vanderbilt thing help Pavia? I mean, the SEC thing, I feel like for voters in other regions, I think that hurts players on SEC teams sometimes. There's just a lot of hatred for the SEC outside of the SEC, you know? But it's Vanderbilt. So which one of those wins out for the vote, you know, for the voter who doesn't really have a strong feeling on it either way? I don't know.
Look, I don't have a Heisman vote, so I could say this. You know, I'm also a Tennessee fan. Pavia would be my Heisman Trophy winner. If I was voting on this, he would be the one that wins. And I don't think that's because I live in Nashville. I think when you watch him play, the numbers that he put up, and how important he is to what his team accomplished, I don't think that there was a better player in college football this year. So I'm interested to see how the vote shakes out.
No, I agree. Texter asked if I'm a voter. I am a voter. I'm not allowed to give my vote. I have submitted my ballot, which I think was due yesterday. I submitted my ballot Sunday night. But I'm with you. I think he's the best player in college football this year. And, you know, look, Mendoza, you know, J.C. Goodlesville's like, oh, yeah, great, 222 yards passing and one TD, quote-unquote Heisman moment. I hear you, but they played Ohio State too, right? So, like, beating Ohio State, which I did not think they were going to do, beating what I think is the best defense in college football, it was a grinder of a game, but he did make throws that were significant. If it's close – like it is this year, that can swing people. That can be the difference. So, it's just how it goes. But look, I mean, I will tell you, Robbie, I expected to see some separation in the staff voting.
Yeah.
And there's less separation. So that's interesting. And you know, we have voters, the people, I think we have like 26, 27 people who take part in this, and all over the country. And I think almost all of us are voters. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's at least there's enough drama and uncertainty that I wouldn't like bet my house on Mendoza. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like some years you just know who's winning it. I think it will be him in a close vote, but I mean, there's hundreds of voters out there that like just and look, there's hundreds of voters vote for the Heisman who shouldn't vote for the Heisman or
yes.
vote for anything based on some things that happen. But there's enough uncertainty to have some drama Saturday.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Diego Pavia and the Heisman Trophy. What do you make of his chances heading into the Heisman Trophy weekend? We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, if it doesn't shake out that way for Pavia, how excited are Vanderbilt fans about the season that just took place? And how much are you sitting there saying, man, we just got totally screwed? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
And that includes with your quarterback, Diego Pavia. I had him on SportsCenter with me last week. What has he meant to the resurrection of what you were building there at Vanderbilt?
Well, I don't know that we have time. He's been everything. I mean, it, you know, and I think it starts with his the humility in his process, his curiosity day in, day out, just in search of higher levels of performance as a person, as a player. The quiet connections he builds with teammates that really lead to inspirational moments on the field. And then you get to the statistical season he's had, the impact he's had in games, the way he takes games over at the quarterback position. There is no one that can improvise like him right now in our game. There's no one that can create like him right now in our game. You know, I would encourage everyone to tune into our bowl game. I mean, this guy is really special, one of one. I'm hoping that obviously we get the invitation to New York. I'm hoping that you know, he wins the award because he deserves it. This is the best player in college football. But what's best about him is he's one of the great people in college football. This guy cares about his teammates, cares about the families connected to this program, and that's really where he's done his most important work, is establishing player-led leadership in our locker room and really pulling people in from our community into this program and making them feel a part of it.
That's Clark Lee on ESPN discussing Diego Pavia and the Heisman Trophy. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, we'll see how the Heisman Trophy vote plays out. I think he's at least got a shot. I would expect Mendoza to win, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. Hope that Diego Pavia – wins it coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, and I was short on it. It's a 930 voters, by the way, so it's a lot of voters. A texter was asking about what the ballot, did they give you stats? They don't give you anything. I mean, that's on us to pay attention and look at what basically the ballot is. Just they don't even list names. They just say, who's your number one, who's your number two, who's your number three, name and school. And then, again, 3 points for first place, 2 for second, and 1 for third, and that's it. So everybody has 3 people that they vote for. So this year, enough. There's always, I think they always at least take 3 to New York. When I was younger, I mean, most of my life, there were five people who would go. And I, and it's based on votes now, but I also feel like maybe they just maybe cut it off a little bit more often to not pay for people to come out.
Just take the 5. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, all the money flowing around this sport, just take the 5 to New York.
I agree. I'm glad it's at least 4 this year. Love and Sayan also gets to go. I mean, I expect him to be 4th. I would expect him to be 4th place of the 4. I hope Love is ahead of him. He should be.
Yep.
But I could make the case for Love to be 2nd too. But again, Mendoza, I think he's going to win. I'd love to be wrong. I don't know, man. This is a small sample size, our athletic poll, but it does give me a little bit of pause on just this, that everybody was swayed by that game,
Yeah.
I mean, again, some people will have been, there's no doubt, but how many, I don't know. And it was Pavia the guy who was going to win it before that game happened? Someone, JC saying it's unfair, it shouldn't count. Again, man, all these games count. In college football, all this stuff that happens counts. Even losing any conference title game, it counts. It has to count. There's a winner and a loser of every game. And of course, it's going to count for a player or against a player.
Well, and by the way, Vanderbilt could have made their conference championship. It would have counted for them, too.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana won all its games. And, yes, they smashed a lot of bad teams because that's what happens in the Big Ten because there aren't that many good teams in the Big Ten. But bottom line is they also went out to Oregon and they won that game. They just beat Ohio State. I mean, you got to give them all the credit for getting it done, man.
So it's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out. If Mendoza wins, if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you think back a couple of weeks, it's like, well, if you can just go into Tennessee and win, can you give yourself a chance to make the college football playoff? Diego Pavia, could he win the Heisman Trophy? All that was still on the table. Obviously, they're not in the college football playoff. We'll see about Pavia, but let's say it plays out that way and Mendoza ends up winning the Heisman Trophy. On the one hand, you look at it and you're like, well, this is still clearly the best season in the history of Vanderbilt football, and they've got a bowl game coming up against Iowa, and I think they're going to beat Iowa. And they could very well end up 11-2 at the end of the year. So there's clear reason to be excited about that if you're a Vanderbilt fan. On the other hand, it's like, well, we just had this magical year, and then we really didn't even get considered all that much for the college football playoff when it came down to it at the end of the rankings. And our quarterback that we thought had a pretty good shot of winning the Heisman Trophy ended up finishing 2nd on Saturday. Let's say it plays out that way. How do you view that? If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you've got on one hand overwhelming success, and on the other hand, based on where this thing was a couple of weeks ago, Joe, disappointment that it played out the way that it did on not making the playoff, and maybe we'll see Pavia finishing in 2nd in the Heisman race.
Yeah, I think it's all about perspective, right? I mean, the longtime Vanderbilt fan, I guess I would hope, would be able to be like, yeah, just came up short and some insane stuff that you never would have thought possible. But again, a Vanderbilt team has never won 10 games and still could win 11. You flipped the number one recruit in the country from Georgia, et cetera. So you have like you walk in that stadium now and it has a totally different feel. Walk around that campus as things are being built. You can take it beyond football, take it to the basketball stuff they're building and the way those programs are going. So if you have that perspective, then I think for the most part, you have to be, again, you're in the golden years right now. Also, though, I mean, like, I get the, okay, is this going to happen again? Pavia's leaving. Was this our chance? to be in that tournament? Was this it? I mean, that's the question, right? Moving forward, like, how are they going to build on this? And we don't know, but yeah, I mean, I definitely understand the Vanderbilt fan being, you know, feeling like, oh my God, how, you know, disrespected because it's the name is Vanderbilt. And I think there is some of that. I think if you want to blame the committee for something, I think some of the people on that committee had a hard time wrapping their heads around Vanderbilt being this good. I mean, again, teams that lost to Vanderbilt this year plummeted in like the AP poll, you know? And so I think there's still a stigma attached to that. But also, like, did they really get screwed? I mean, you know, I mean, I could make a case for them to be in, but, you know, you can make a case for all the teams that are right on the fringe to be in. I don't necessarily think that they got it wrong with Notre Dame. I guess you'd take out would be Bama for Vanderbilt, but Bama beat them. So I mean, you also have to keep that in mind, too.
One texter says, this season overall felt like a dream. Would have been nice to be in the college football playoff, but like Clark Lee said, they didn't get screwed. They just needed to handle their business in the two games they lost. Whether Pavia wins the Heisman or not, there's more to be excited about than there is to pout about. By the way, especially in the wake of how Notre Dame has handled all this, shout out to Clark Lee for the way that he's handled it.
Yes. No, good for him for coming out and just saying, hey, you know, got it, because he's right. He's right. Of course you're going to make the case. And he did, and they won all out. But good for him for handling it the way he did. Texter also says it's ironic he – first word he used about Pavia is humble. You know, Pavia is obviously a huge – he's a trash talker, okay? And he did – he made the case for himself when he was asked, should you win the Heisman? Yes. And some players would be like, well, I just might want to – you know, thank my teammates. And then Poppy's like, yeah, I should win it. So some people have this idea of this incredibly cocky player. I think he's a leader and, yes, a trash talker and a everybody doubted me guy, right, and who actually can say that, unlike, say, like Kirby Smart, who tries to keep saying, no one believed in our team. No one ever. But I think there are some people who have a little bit of a wrong impression of Pavia. Some of them may be Vols fans. I feel like Vols fans really, really dislike Pavia.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Will, on our phone line, is waiting patiently. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will, welcome into the show.
Hey, I just wanted y'all's thoughts on this. If Pavia does not win the Heisman, how does that change the upcoming year for Vanderbilt? Like, do you think that's a good thing? It puts a chip on their shoulder, or you think they just feel mistreated? I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Will. Joe, what do you think?
I mean, the playoff thing is one thing, and again, it was just really bad luck for them this year that the field shook out like this. And a lot of years, this Vanderbilt team gets in. And in a lot of years, you know, South Carolina, LSU, all these teams aren't going to plummet the way they did. But I think if you have a player, if you're Vanderbilt, you have a player who finishes second narrowly in the Heisman, I don't think that's a disrespect thing, is it? I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like, if you have a Heisman finalist, is that not already amazing for Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
I would say it is. I mean, I know, again, it'll stink if he comes up just short. But I think this one is definitely this is a tremendous program commercial for Vanderbilt right now going on, and that will happen Saturday night in New York.
Caleb on the text line says, are we going to have to hear the whining even more if Pavia doesn't win? Tough look to do the pose 10 times this year and not win the Heisman Trophy. Oh, the Vols fans are coming out.
There we go. I'm just assuming Caleb's a Vols fan.
Oh, Caleb's a Vols fan.
I don't
fan.
Know. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, guys. I don't know what to tell you. I do. I saw that Stilly said this, and I will very – here's a rare agreeing with Stilly moment. If he was a Tennessee Vol, you guys would absolutely love him and everything that he does and says.
That's true.
Do not tell me otherwise.
That is true. 615.
I've seen some Vol Twitter try to argue against that, which is just comical.
Do they remember the 2022 baseball team? 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Pittsburgh, let's weld.
I hate you, Josh Heupel.
80%. 80%. Go SAC.
Well, at least he didn't say he hated his father.
Hey, Dad, shut up, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Like, how do you know that I pee my pants that often?
I would let them pee around the field.
If my zipper's up, I feel like I'm in style.
Run face first into a tree. It is time for the Rob Rant here on the program. It's special hearing that song this week. Good stuff. At least they tried. We will get into some more Phillip Rivers news a little bit later in the show. Apparently the workout took place last night, Joe Rexroad, and he threw the ball well. So we will get back into that a little bit later in the program. I want to speak today to Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White. And this is just some friendly advice that I've got for him. Joe, let me start by saying this. I have no problem. Matter of fact, I encourage an athletic director that wants to see all of his programs do well, whether that's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever. Doesn't matter. I mean, that's the name of the job. You should want to see your programs do very well. I also live in reality and know that most of these athletic directors realize that, you know, football is what drives the bus in most places. There are some exceptions to that where maybe it's men's basketball, maybe it's women's basketball, whatever it is, but football is primarily what drives the bus in these athletic departments. It's where the money comes from. It's what generates the most money, the most interest, all those things. And Danny White has made it a habit over the last few years to really lean into the everything school stuff, right? Quote, unquote, everything. Tennessee's an everything school. And we've talked about that. They basically have been, right? Like they've had some good success under Josh Heupel as football program. I mean, you're talking about some, you know, Elite Eight runs in the basketball program on the men's side of things. Looks like Kim Caldwell is going to end up being a good hire on the women's side of things. The baseball team won a national championship. So there's been a lot to be proud of if you're a Tennessee fan in terms of what the athletic department has done over the last few years. So I get all that. I want to make sure that that is clear as we start this conversation. I get all those things. I also recognize that, you know, they're signing a new deal with Adidas and that they've gone and imposed this talent fee, and fans at this point are paying out the wazoo to get into Neyland Stadium and watch this team play football, Joe. And Tennessee's not alone in that. It's not like they're the only program doing it, but they are. They're doing this. And they were just repaid with an 8-4 season, and the last taste they have in their mouth is their in-state rival totally crushing them on their home field, missing out on the college football playoff, and they're headed to the Music City Bowl here. So I saw Danny White at the end of last week start talking about the everything school stuff again. And boy, did he just get ripped on Vol Twitter. I mean, it was open season on Danny White from Tennessee fans. I mean, the timing of it wasn't great. The basketball team and just lost to Syracuse. By the way, the basketball team lost again on Saturday night. You have Tennessee on the football side of things coming off getting destroyed by Vanderbilt, and Danny White is right in the crosshair of Vol Twitter right now. So my advice to Danny White right now, Joe, is this. I have no problem with you as an athletic director doing what you do and wanting all your programs to be successful. I think right now, with where the temperature is right now, with the aftermath of the football season that just took place and how important we know it is for Heupel and the football program to get back in the college football playoff next year, all those things going on, I'd probably dial it back for a little while on the everything school stuff, because that is not going to go over well with your fan base. And look, Tennessee fans cared a lot about baseball when they won the national championship. We'll see what it looks like at post Vitello. Obviously, Tennessee fans get wrapped up in men's and women's basketball when it's time for the tournament and all those things, and everything's going well, and look, they sell out their arena, all those things. So there are plenty of Tennessee fans that care about all the sports at Tennessee. By far, I think there are still way more Tennessee fans that would choose football over everything else, and it's not close, and I think you need to remember that if you're the athletic director and not set yourself up to just get totally ripped by your fan base. So, Joe, that's my message to Danny White. Maybe chill a little bit on the everything school stuff.
Yeah. He probably should just, I mean, just chill on saying anything publicly right now.
Probably so.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and typically he's capable for sure of going stretches without saying much publicly. But, yeah, people don't want to hear that right now for sure. If football falters, it's not, yeah, it's not even close. And I mean, at some schools it may be, you know, I mean, like at North Carolina, they're probably like, yeah, okay, this Belichick thing sucks. But anyway, Caleb Foster had 23 and 15 last night. And look, not Caleb Foster, Caleb, oh my gosh, I'm getting my Calebs mixed up, but you know what I'm saying. Some schools care more about other sports or whatever. It's never going to be close at Tennessee. And when it comes down to it, if football doesn't get fixed, people are going to go back to, you know, well, you're the one who brought in Heupel. I mean, I don't think anybody right now could reasonably say it wasn't a good hire.
Yeah.
It's way better hire than some radio programs may have thought at the time it was made.
Who could that be?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Did we do a show that day? I don't think so. But, Josh Heupel, who in the heck is that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
They could have hired Gus Malzahn.
I know. I was pushing for him and also for Tom, the Indiana coach. Because, you know, no one could ever do better than what he did at Indiana. I mean,
yeah, real good stuff from us on that day. My goodness.
Yeah, I know. But, no, I'm with you. And I think, you know, some of it is a raw deal for Danny. Like, people mad at him that Vitello left. Like, for example, that's stupid.
Yeah,
he went to manage the San Francisco Giants. Like,
Danny
White
was not. Got to have some realism in that conversation.
Yeah. Like, but I don't know. I think Danny White also is. He's just a guy, and the talent fee is part of it. But I just also think, like, he's a guy who, like, people can easily dislike.
Yeah.
You know? I think maybe sometimes people who work for him can easily feel that way, too. I mean, he's tough, you know. Overall, he's done the job that you want. But, you know, certainly in terms of, like, financially with the department and all that stuff. But, again, what matters the most? Are you winning in football?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon on the YouTube chat says, I wouldn't care if Tennessee was winless in every other sport if it meant that they'd win a football national championship. And I don't know how to break it down by percentage, but I think a lot of Tennessee fans agree with that statement. I mean, you're talking to one that agrees with that statement. So I just think that there's some – I would not choose now, when the football team just got embarrassed at home by Vanderbilt, to be really leaning into the everything school stuff if you're Danny White. I just don't think that's very wise.
Yeah, of course he did. It's too late now.
That's true.
Just don't do it anymore, Danny.
Yeah, just don't do it again. Boy, were they mad. I saw some very nasty things being said to Danny White on Twitter. I was like, God, I hope he's not looking at his mentions right now.
At least they were distracted from ripping Pavia.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of Tennessee, they have fired their defensive coordinator. What does that move signal to us about Josh Heupel and what else could be coming for Tennessee this offseason? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.